Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Terrified kayaker stalked by a massive great white shark while fishing off of New Zealand. 19-year-old guy. But he's one of these guys that's like, he has four or five cameras set up in different places.
Yeah.
I'm out here and I'm going to do this. And
right.
Now I'm going to sleep. Now I'm waking up and you see him opening the camper door. And it's like, well, wait, you have to get up, put the camera on, go back in, close the camper door.
Right.
So you could open the camper door to look like you were awake.
Unless you have a film crew on the boat.
Right.
Which ain't happening.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. So, I was already rooting against this guy before he got into the kayak. I'm like, good, shark food.
Yep.
All right, so now he's out there and he's fishing. He's got a couple of, he's got some live bait on lines off of the kayak.
Yeah.
And then he sees a great white.
What the sh...
Great white. Great white. Great white shark. Cutting the live bait off.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Get rid of the food.
This, I'm out of here. Oh, mate, get out of the rudder. Holy me, there's a huge great white behind me. Me, she's following me.
He's about to.
The thing is, you could see the fin of the shark following him.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
Oh, yeah, radar's on. Yeah,
he's still behind me. He's going at my rudder. Holy shit. Is he still here?
What was that one noise?
Yeah, it sounded like he farted. I wouldn't blame him for expelling some gas.
Yeah,
exactly right. Jettison some fuel. What have you got to do? Yeah, what have you got to do? You jet power the boat, whatever it takes.
Ruth, can you back that up?
Let's see.
He's going at my rudder. Holy sh!
Right there.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Holy sh!
Yep.
Right there.
Yep.
He let one out.
Yep. You got the paddling farts.
I really don't blame him.
No.
Ooh.
No. In this case, you're totally loud.
Yeah, terror farts. It's fine.
Exactly right. And whatever it takes to fend off that beast.
That's what happens when you're terrified. You can't control any of those.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. No.
And just if you got the...
off it goes, yeah.
If there's a load in there, in your pants.
Right.
On your pants.
There's a bunny in there. Yeah, the bunny in the chamber.
In the air.
Yep.
It's the least of your worries.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly, right. I'm going to make them myself really... I'm not tasty.
Right. Maybe it's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like,
ooh, chocolate. Ooh,
right. Yeah. Not good.
That wasn't a tell at all.
Not cool. Okay.
Holy s***.
About to.
Is he still here? Oh, my God. F*** that. He's still here. He's still behind me.
How far did you go?
He's just following me.
He's a seal.
He's way off of land, too.
Yeah, he thinks you're a seal.
It's not going to be much fun. He's still right on my tail. He's following my rudder. Please don't attack me, bro.
Bro.
Wait.
How do I get him to leave me alone? He's still right behind me. Can you guys see that fin? Holy shit. Holy shit.
He's talking to the camera.
He's still following me.
Wait,
I was rooting for the shark here.
Is he still there? Yeah, he's still there. Oh, my God.
Keep
please
paddling.
Leave me alone, bro.
Don't please tase me, bro.
Leave me alone.
First of all, if your life is in jeopardy by a great white, stop talking.
Yeah.
Right. Stop the running commentary.
I'm screaming at this point. I'm crying. I'm jettisoning everything.
That kayak's going to look like a speedboat. Yeah. I'll be able to pull skiers
there's a wake,
off of that thing.
There's a wake behind the boat.
Oh, yeah. The nose is up in the air. It's like...
Exactly. Right? Nose up.
Please. I'm not like, oh, don't eat me, bro.
Yeah, he's very calm.
Like, no.
Very calm.
God. It's like...
Oh, yeah. That dip thing's like, oh, this thing's noisy.
Maybe that's like his self-preservation mode. He thinks that if he, is focusing on making the video that it's not real somehow. I don't know.
Like he's keeping calm, trying to like focus on that.
Or he's an attention whore.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah. This is how low we've fallen.
Or he's stoned out of his mind.
All right,
that one.
Holy shit. Is he still here?
He keeps going.
Good heavens, man.
He's pushing out some gas.
What did you eat? Oh, my God. F*** that. He's still here. He's still behind me. He's just following me. If I get eaten, it's not going to be much fun. He's still right on my tail.
It's not going to be much fun if he gets eaten.
Oh, for the shark, it'll be.
Right. For the viewers, it'll be, maybe not fun, but interesting.
Once it gets past that crunchy kayak coating.
Right. It's like eating, like, shrimp with the shell still on.
Exactly. Oh. I should have peeled this one first.
Yeah, he's the nougat.
Holy sh! Is he still here?
Wow. He's pushing out a lot of gas.
Dude, man, you had your beans last night.
Oh, my God. F*** that. He's still here. He's still behind me.
Oh, I think he's back. I'm sorry.
He's just following me. If I get eaten, it's not going to be much fun. He's still right on my tail. He's following my rudder.
Hold on one
Please
second.
Don't attack me, Bob.
Chaz and AJ.
The shark is just trying to make sure he gets to land safely.
Jesus. Right, imagine that. It's like a helpless shark.
Right. You look lost.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
That he's still here, he's still behind me, he's just following me. If I get eaten, it's not going to be much fun. He's still right on my
now
tail.
I want to see him
rudder.
In Seriously. Trouble.
Please don't attack
just
me,
like
bro.
Lose an arm, not like
just
tell
not
him to leave me alone.
Yeah,
he's still right
you can't
behind
kayak
me.
One arm, so
can you guys see that fin? Holy,
hold on one
holy
second.
Holy,
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you don't want to really start trying to paddle away fast because then the shark thinks you're in stress and he's just going to attack you. So
okay, so he's doing the right thing.
Duck.
Oh,
gotcha.
Okay, so
you gotta go. You gotta go real slow and real gentle away. And at that point, the guy's just
right.
You know, doing what he could do.
And how about the farting?
That's a little extra boost.
How do you know all this?
Just watching stuff. Simple things, you know, same like bear attacks, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
They feel your stress, you know.
So
once you go in attack mode, they're gonna go in attack mode.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So if he was going fast, that would have been worse for him.
I can tell you something.
Yeah, he's gonna attack you like running, like the seal's running away or a dolphin's running away. He's just gonna chase you.
Yeah, the inside of that kayak can't be too good either.
No, the inside of his mouth.
Right.
I think a lot of when he says "holy s," it's right after he lets one out, and he's like, "Ah."
You breathe in your own.
That's
stuff,
the
dude.
Worst to get that air in your mouth. You're like, "Ah."
It's in my mouth. It's in my mouth.
It's bad enough getting it in the nose, but in the mouth, it's like,
right.
And it's swishing around in the kayak, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's
back
like
and
living
forth.
In the boat.
It's like one match, man, boom. Well,
yeah,
all right.
Still there. Oh, my God. Please leave me alone, bro. Please.
He's not
leave
your
me
bro.
Alone.
No.
He's still following me. That is a big great white. What can I throw out the back to get him away from me?
Your foot.
If I throw out a water bottle, I know that I'm littering, but it might take his attention away from me. He's right underneath me. He's been following me for like 200 meters.
Underneath the some straight
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're okay. Almost done.
Knock him right out of the water.
Hold on one second. Yep. Chaz and AJ.
Good morning. Good morning. What you should do is turn around and go at the shark. Say, let's do this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is that what you would do?
Call his bluff. Call his bluff.
No, I didn't say I'd do it, but I mean, it's like, if you're so far from shore, it's like, okay, I'll just stay here and float
you
and wait
something?
Till he circles around me.
Yep.
Or like, should I just say, okay, man, I got a rudder, and I mean, I got an oar, and I guess I'm just going to have to do what I got to do.
Scarface, man. You know what I mean? Want something? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You want some of me, man?
Oh,
you
God.
Want some of me?
Say hello to my little arm.
Come get it. Come get it.
All right, we're playing this audio on Dumbass News. A kayaker being stalked by a massive great white. And now it's been going on for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
The shark just keeps following him in the kayak.
I'm not sure if he's still behind me or not.
Why don't you jump in?
Oh, yeah, he's still back there.
Oh.
He's about 20 meters behind me now. He's coming closer. I'm sorry for all the swearing, but I'm shitting bricks right now.
I would
throw one of those bricks out in the water.
Seriously, right?
That'll get him.
Yeah, dirty the water.
Oh my God.
Yeah, throw a poop brick out there.
Yep.
The shark would be like, ah.
There's not so white anymore, are you?
That'll ruin, so good. Ruin anyone's day. Right. Doesn't matter, became human great, or animal.
Became the great tan.
When a great white gets to that size, its main food source is marine mammals, and I'm a marine mammal right now. I hope
that was pretty good.
Alone.
That was like Crocodile Hunter.
Yep.
It likes to eat marine mammals.
Crocky.
And right now, I'm a marine mammal.
Look at the size of those teeth. Crikey.
I hope he leaves me alone. I've got about 4 kilometers before I can land on a beach. I've got about an hour-long paddle before
How
I can get...
How long is 4 kilometers?
I have no idea.
It's like 3 miles.
Is it?
Oh, damn it.
It's a long way. You said an hour of paddling.
Two and a half miles.
Damn.
Chaz and AJ.
Yeah, I was attacked by a peregrine falcon.
Ooh.
That sounds nasty.
Are you dressed like a mouse?
No, I was a news photographer for a TV station in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And we were doing a story on a mama who had a nest on top of one of the casinos. And I was out on a ledge outside this window, 28 stores up.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was getting a nice shot. And the mama falcon just came and smacked me in the back of the head at high speed.
Whoa.
And no pictures over here.
Wow.
Well,
it was like Alec Baldwin.
The Jersey Falcon, forget about it.
Punching out photographers.
Right. What are you doing over here?
How big are those birds?
They're big enough to hurt.
Yeah.
Oh.
A falcon, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It felt like somebody threw a baseball in the back of my head.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
And plus also 28 stories up on a ledge.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, that would have been one hell of a footage.
Right. Right.
We're glad you're still going.
Birds then just twirling ground and then boom.
Right.
Holy.
Well, thankfully, that didn't happen, but I did get the shot.
Nice.
Yeah, good for you. That's
took it. Yep.
Yeah. Told like a great cameraman.
Yep.
Took Got a shot. The shot.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's the important part.
Thank you, man.
All right.
We're talking about, we're listening to the audio of this guy just hoping that the shark, just nibbles him a little bit.
Right.
Just a taste.
Yeah, just a taste. I want to hear him scream now.
Like a flavor straw.
But if you've ever been attacked by nature, 203-882-9757. All right, go ahead.
I've got about 4 kilometers before I can land on a beach. I've got about an hour-long paddle before I can get anywhere on dry land. And he's still behind me. Holy shit. I need to get in. Is he still there? I have lost sight of him. I don't like that.
Yeah, really?
I've lost sight of him. Where is he?
I'll go in this tunnel.
He's like right in front of the boat with his mouth open.
I'll go in this tunnel.
Maybe lost sight
I'll go in this tunnel to get rid of him.
Yeah, I'm going to go now. Hide in this tunnel.
Look at the stalagmites on this thing.
He could just be swimming underneath me, too.
I would.
Holy sh!
All not good.
I don't know where he is. I'm just not going to stop paddling and keep an eye out. I don't know where he's gone, but I don't want to be anywhere near him. I'm going in. That was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. Whangaroa, if you can hear this, please keep me safe.
Now he's praying.
Keep me well.
I would.
And keep that shark from me. Tangaroa Namahi. F*** this. Te Tangaroa. Please.
Tangaroa?
Tangaroa.
Keep me safe. Like
is that some kind of a god or
that's
something?
That's like that must be an Australian or New Zealand. Yeah, that's like a Polynesian god thing.
Yeah. I ordered that once.
He waited a long time to call on that god.
Seriously, right? Yeah.
The last resort.
We're in certain range, it only works.
Right. Let me get into cell service right to the car. Chaz and AJ.
Hey, it's Boss and John.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I got attacked by nature once. I had a tarantula try to attack me.
A tarantula? Overseas?
I was shooting a machine gun, and the machine gun was vibrating the ground, and he came up out of a hole. It came right at my face.
Oh.
So I turned, big hairy thing, man.
They're so intimidating.
Well, when you're laying on your belly and you're right there, you know, face level with it.
Oh.
So I turn around. It was bad. I batted it away. It was a big one. And he just turned around and came right back at me.
They're
I hit
ballsy.
Him again one
this,
more time.
This ain't over.
Shoot him. You had a gun. Shoot it.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. I couldn't shoot it. It's a machine gun on a bipod.
Oh, man. Yeah. Grenade then.
So I couldn't just shoot it. So he came back a third time. I took my helmet off and just smashed it. then...
That'll work.
I'm good. Oh, man, with so that Boston accent.
After it was all said and done, right, I'm walking around. I didn't realize he was still on my helmet. People were, like, pointing at it and laughing at it because he was half dead, half alive.
My little legs are just switching.
Legs are still moving.
Like you have antenna.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like Ant-Man.
Part of the camouflage, you know?
Right.
Yeah, no, I've had three tarantula encounters in Dallas, Texas, and one I was taking out an old railroad tie from the yard, and I pulled it up. And, you know, most spiders scurry off when you expose them to light or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This one came right out.
Whoa.
And was staring me down.
Attitude.
Oof. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I put it right. I was like, okay, all right. No, this is your house.
Oh, yeah. They're vicious, man. They don't care. They'll come right at you. And they're big. They're not small at all. I mean, the thing was the size of my hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
No.
But I got the last laugh on that one.
Yeah, you did.
Yep, left an impression on him.
Hey, I love you guys. Have a great day. I got to get to work.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, thank you for donating half of your winnings to the toy drive.
Very nice, you, man.
Very cool.
Let's go to Danny, Long Island. Hey, Danny.
So when I was a kid, probably like 11, 12 years old, we lived on the water on the east end of Long Island. And I'm sitting on the edge of the water, and I'm fishing. And next thing I know, there's a whole bunch of geese come, you know, walking up on the lawn.
Yeah.
So I yelled at them, and some of them went away. One of them puts his wings up and starts running at me, trying to bite me. I drop my fishing pole. I start running towards my house. Things still bite me right on my backside.
Yep.
Multiple times. I ended up grabbing a stick off the ground and whacking it, and it finally went in the water with the other ones and left me alone.
But, they're vicious.
Yeah, they got some nasty bites, too.
Those bites hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got bit by
it. Yeah, they hurt. They definitely hurt.
Yep.
It just looks ridiculous running from one. You know, you look like a man running from a goose, but man, I've done it.
Right, with your arms flailing, screaming.
Yeah, it's the screaming that really makes me look like a wuss bag. But,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
And then the peeing myself. Yeah, it's the worst. That's the worst.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yep.
No. They're mean.
Yeah, they're very protective of their young. Yep. Don't even think about going near
nests, everything. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that I think is meaner than geese is swans.
Swans. Yeah. Those beautiful birds will kill you.
Yeah, they're strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That should be a horror movie, Swan Lake.
And you
think it's going to be like, you know, paddle boats and just holding hands.
It's just killer swans.
It's just, they're just taking out all these teenagers.
Right, killer
swans.
It's
like Piranha, but with swans.
Right, all these lovers disappear. Yep. They went for a paddling.
Talking about being attacked by nature, we were playing some audio on Dumbass News of a guy who was followed by a great white shark in his kayak. Elizabeth in Fairfield.
Good morning.
Morning.
You.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
About 7 years ago, it was around right before Christmas, I was riding my bike, and all of a sudden, I was knocked down and fell on the ground, and looked up, and there was a hawk that had knocked me off of my bicycle.
No.
It had grabbed the back of my neck.
Whoa.
And it was just the freakiest thing that ever happened to me in my life.
You know how you go to a buffet and you put more on your plate than you could eat?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was eating with his eyes.
Exactly.
He was like, that looks delicious.
Yeah. I'll just make one trip. I'm good.
Yeah.
One stop. What kind of hairstyle do you have?
And the weirdest thing was then, you know, I laid there for a while because I was just so stunned, and you know, and I kind of recall like something almost like a big, I thought maybe there was a kid up in a tree that threw a rock on my head or something crazy,
right.
You know?
Right.
And then I, you know, got back on my bike, rode home, and, you know, walked in the house, told my family. They all started laughing at me. And
that's what family's for.
Exactly.
That was nice, yeah. And then for Christmas, I got a nice helmet with the bullseye on the top.
That was
upsetting, too.
Right.
And oddly enough, this hawk began to attack people all around in my neighborhood.
It had enough.
It became really horrible. Yeah.
So what eventually happened to the hawk?
Well, eventually, they had some type of rehabilitator come and captured it. They assumed that perhaps it had been hand-raised.
And didn't really
know what was going on.
Trying to go home.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't need a rehabilitator. They should have just had you ride your bike underneath the tree.
That would have tempted them to come out. Well, yeah, and I had one of those stupid hats with the beanie on top, you know, with the fur. So I assumed that I thought I was a squirrel.
Right.
Oh.
Exactly, right. When you rode your bicycle zigzagging.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's funny because about 2 weeks later, I got a call from my son who was in high school at the time, and he said, "Mom, you've got to come home." And I said, "Well, why?" He goes, "Well, there are two news trucks outside of our house with the satellite dishes and everything on them." And when I came home, it was interesting because they wanted to interview me, and then while we were outside, the hawk was circling around. I mean, it's now my spirit animal. It follows me all the time wherever I go.
Okay.
A hawk.
You still have that hat on?
So
yeah, don't wear the hat.
No, I threw that hat away.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Your last name isn't Woodchuck, is it?
yeah, it's what it looked like.
Wow.
Well, love you guys. Thank you. So
all right, thank you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, have a great day.
Okay.
Kenzie from Hartford.
Hi.
Hi. How old are you?
Yeah.
Good. How are you?
Good. How old are you?
12.
Nice.
Okay. So this was actually a story that didn't happen to me. It happened to my brother. He's in the car right now.
Right.
Okay.
So what happened was we were over at our meme's, our mom's mom, and we were looking at a baby bird that fell out of its nest from a tree, and
wow.
It was trying to head back. But what we didn't know was that it was actually a crow's little hatchling,
right.
And it started to like attack my brother's head. I didn't see it, but like I heard it, and he just started like yelling and just like running around and didn't know what to do.
And what did you do?
Laugh.
I don't know.
You laughed,
didn't
you?
Come on, you laughed. You laughed.
You laughed.
I would have
laughed. Yeah, he's alive. Yeah,
I can tell you laughed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I nailed it.
Just thinking about it, you laughed.
Yep.
Yeah, no. And I don't know if he has the bump still, but... It was so
funny. Well, ask him. He's right there.
Right. You can't talk anymore.
Bird got his lips.
Yeah, but he's okay.
Okay, good. Good.
That's awesome.
And did you do anything to help him during this attack?
I didn't see it happen, and I didn't know where he was at the moment.
Right.
Denying all responsibility. She wants nothing.
Exactly. Right. Right. I know nothing. I know nothing.
I love it. She's honest.
Yep.
Like, I don't know.
Yep.
I wasn't sure what was happening.
Right. It all happened so fast.
It happened very fast.
He's got bumps on his head, right. I think. I'm not sure.
All right, Kenzie. Thank you.
Thanks
great
so
call.
Much. Yeah.
Nice job.
Awesome.
AJ hates this subject already. He's bitching about it during the song.
I always bitch.
So we thought we'd do something nice for Valentine's Day.
Right. Valentine's Day, yes.
All right. I thought we would do something nice for Valentine's Day. AJ would rather hear your stories about getting attacked by animals.
Right.
Yeah.
Which could also be a Valentine's Day story.
So I said, well, what about stories of like how you met?
Right.
And go ahead, say word for word what you said.
I said, you know, basically, you know, the out of the bed, like, I don't want to hear, like, your life friggin' story. Like, you know, I always liked banking since I'm sixth grade, and one day...
Isn't that romantic?
No. No, it's romantic for you, and God bless you. I'm glad things worked out for you.
Are
you? There's no payoff.
You don't sound it.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Oh, you're not looking for romance. You're looking for comedy.
I'm looking for fun here. You know, like, you know, I don't know, you're getting to... And you fell through a barrel of pickles and, you know, and landed on it or something. Whatever. Some kind of odd way you met somebody and you ended up, you know,
call in if you fell through a barrel of pickles.
Whatever, you know.
And found the love of your life.
Right, you know what I'm saying.
It's really specific, but yeah. That's
right, pickle. Right, necessarily, yeah. Right. It was a big deal.
Yeah, you're, it's a high level here.
Yes.
You're posting you're making the bar very high.
Oh, yeah, no, but just like the odd ways you met someone, like, you know, and they ended up working
out. So
you
don't want romantic at all?
Like a meet cute, not necessarily romantic, meet cute. That's like the movie term. It's like meet cute.
Meet cute?
What does that mean?
Is like, there's like a cute story behind how you met, like, I was shopping for shoes and, you know, we both... grab for something.
We both
grabbed the same. Guy was the salesperson.
We both grabbed the same
zucchini. And then the guy fell through a barrel of pickles.
Right. We both grabbed the same zucchini. And, you know, our eyes met. Yeah. Our eyes locked in our limbs, you know? Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get any. I think you put the bar too high.
Well, that's what happens.
Most people have romantic stories.
Well, let's go for it, man. I'll try and find some way to...
That'll be your challenge.
Okay. I feel challenged.
You're the one who has to work.
This is true.
Yeah.
All right. Hang on. Sip Red Bull.
All right, here we go. He's going to take a sip of Red Bull. He's getting his brain ready to take on your boring stories of how you met your spouse or other half. Call it in. The more boring, the better.
That's right.
No.
Because we're going to put AJ to the test
there
right now.
There are folks driving out there. Might fall asleep at the wheel.
203-882-9757.
I'm just saying.
Especially if you've been together for a long time. Or if you knew right away.
Yeah.
Or if you didn't know, or if you hated the person.
It was destiny.
And then somehow it turned around.
Right, or density. Something
right.
Like that. Yeah.
Density.
It was density.
Or you met them at your wedding. You were getting married,
yes.
You met them there, and then you get divorced, and then years later, it's...
That's a good one.
She was getting married at a Hotspur.
Chaz and AJ.
Yes, hi, this is Bedelia from the RV. How are you today?
Oh, here we go.
Perfect.
Yep, this is the story.
Yeah, you guys already know the story. That's how I found the love of my life. I hit him in the head with a cue ball.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, why the cue ball?
That would be making...
Yeah, why not the 8?
Right, or the number 2 ball.
Oh yeah. The 8 ball? That's funny. No, seriously, though. That's how I found the love of my life.
What was the reason why you nailed him with the cue ball?
He said something to her.
Yeah, what did he say to you?
You're in the bar.
He was looking down my shirt.
Oh.
Gotcha.
And I told him twice.
Can I ask? Oh, really? Because I was going to say, do you have a low-cut shirt? Because if you have a low-cut shirt, a guy can't...
I know.
It just kind of happens, yeah.
It just happens by accident.
It's that gravity thing.
It is. Yep. It's like a tractor beam.
Right.
My eyes go...
Right.
Cleavage.
And I'm leaning over the pool table, and of course I was flirting with him because I really liked him.
You're flirting with him, but telling him not to look down your shirt.
Right.
Weird.
And then you nail him with
the cue ball. I was kind of like, you know when you pull little girls' pigtails when you like them?
Okay.
Right. That was your way of flirting.
Right.
Let me throw a cue ball at your forehead.
Right.
Well, he's bald, so
I did throw it. I actually had it in my hand.
She'd use like a hammer.
All right, that's very, very, very romantic.
And how many times did you hit him? Like once, twice?
Oh, no, only one time.
And did he have a bump?
I'm pretty sure.
Not on his head.
Well, he married me twice, so obviously I must have knocked some sense into him.
Married,
I don't know.
Married twice. But he forgot the first time. Keep having his memory lapses.
Right. She hits them when they renew their vows every five.
All right, everybody say, nice story.
See, you just
all right, Bedelia.
He's right.
Thank you. So romantic.
That's a Hallmark card right there. I think you're cute.
Oh, no. It's a worse Valentine's card.
Thank you.
All right, call in how you met. And even if it's boring, we'll try to convert it.
We'll make it interesting.
Something interesting. That was a pretty good way to start.
It was.
I think you get better than that.
Yes.
John, Miller Place.
Hey, good morning, crew.
Hey, good morning.
And?
John?
An open manhole?
Oh, damn it. Oh,
his wife cut the phone line.
I think the segment's cursed.
He got nailed with a cue ball.
John, call back. We lost you.
Yeah.
Gidget.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I was living with my ex-husband. Got thrown out because he was banging the secretary at work.
Gotcha.
Ouch.
All right.
Yeah, a little extra work.
Right? Isn't that so cliche?
Following dictation,
so,
yes.
So I wind up, I'm trying to find an apartment in Milford. A single disabled mom with two kids.
Oh, boy.
Nobody wants to rent to me at all.
Damn.
How are you going to pay for it if you don't have a man? What kind of question is that? So anyway, I rented this apartment sight unseen.
Right.
And the guy said, bring me the money. I was like, great. So I moved everything in by myself and was moving everything back and forth. The serpentine belt broke on my truck.
Oh, boy.
So it was summer. I had on these little shorts. And lo and behold, the neighbor directly across the street decides to come over now to offer to help.
He actually ran.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, because you seemed like you needed help.
Yeah, he was already looking before you broke down.
So they're going to sell them. And, well, come to find out, pretty much our entire lives, up until we had just then met, we were at the same place at the same time doing the exact same thing.
Wow.
Wow.
And we've been together since 2002.
Nice.
Wow. Wow.
23 years. Nice.
That's great. Isn't that romantic?
Some shorts.
Yeah, some shorts.
Right. Some shorts.
All those times you're in the same place, nothing happened, but you put those shorts on, boom, look.
Magic.
See,
magnet.
Things happen.
Well, we were both in rival drum corps.
Oh.
And the drum corps hated each other. And he you know, we talked about that for a minute, and I was like, oh, ew.
What, were you in the Hurricanes?
They'd have drum offs.
I was in the Hurricanes, yes.
Nice.
Great band. That was one of the best marching bands in the United States.
Really?
By the way, the Hurricanes.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They made it at Worlds and everything.
That was the treat in a parade when you were a kid, when they came by.
Yeah.
Because they were so good.
Magnificent Seven. Yeah. Got to play Magnificent Seven.
There was a bar in Derby that they, as they were marching.
Isn't that Connie's?
Yes, they would stop and do a half circle around the bar, and then play a song for their favorite drinking hole.
Oh, wow. Nice!
And then keep moving.
Not good if you're hungover, though.
Yeah.
That's where we went after practice. We all went to Connie's.
Yep.
So. And then with this guy.
All right, Gidget. Thank you. Great story.
Okay. Yeah. Let's have a paradiddle.
Hey, aren't you having fun, AJ?
It's much better now. Thank you.
Okay. Steve from Massachusetts.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
good. Thanks.
I got a good one where I met my wife.
Oh.
About a year before I really met her, I used to have a motorcycle, and I used to ride by everywhere on the thing.
Yeah.
And bright green Kawasaki, she hated it. She wanted to kill me. She wanted to throw a stick in my front spoke before I'd ride by every day.
Wow.
Why, because of the color or because it was a Kawasaki?
Because of the noise.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay.
Right. I rode to the corner store to go get a loaf of bread, get milk.
Any excuse to ride.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep. And this is coming by.
Right.
Yeah. And then my buddy actually lived next door to her. So we were over there riding all the time. And then we ended up hanging out. And now we've been together, got two kids, and been together for over 20 years.
Well, how did the conversation start? The conversation started like, you drive that annoying green Kawasaki?
No, she didn't even notice that at first. Me and my buddy were over there working on our trucks, and I just started talking to her and said, hey, you want to go four-wheeling with us? Went four-wheeling, and then she found out I had the motorcycle. She said, you know, I wanted to kill you when I first seen you on this
bike. That's a turn-on right there.
Yeah.
She hated me at the beginning.
Wow.
What'd she do? I had the bike, say, you're the one riding this thing?
Right. I wanted to kill you.
That is great.
Nice.
She wanted to kill you, then ended up marrying you.
Yep.
So now she wants to kill you. Jerry.
So, yeah, my story is I'm a nurse.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome. I worked on a burn unit out in Stony Brook, Long Island. And my
husband, my husband now, he had come in with over a 50% burn.
Ooh,
he was not expected to survive. Wow. I mean, the first month with us, he was, you know, not even responsive. And it was the most bizarre thing because I've never felt drawn or connected to a person like I did him.
What was it?
I could not understand the attraction to him.
Yeah.
And the good news was he recovered his burn injury. So he was with us for 3 months. And it was funny because we would have to medicate him where he was fully paralyzed. There's a medication called Pavulon.
Oh.
And so he couldn't speak. But at the end of the hour, he'd start coming around, and all he could do is jiggle his eyebrows. And I used to say, hey, do you like Eric Clapton? And he'd jiggle his eyebrows.
Right.
Anyway, he ended up recovering, and I could not cross that boundary. This is my patient. But I was the only one who knew how I felt about him was my mother. And when he ended up leaving, being discharged, I had friends who were in a band, and I ended up inviting him to the coming out. I'm never thinking he'd show up.
Yeah.
And he showed up because he went home and still had to recover for 3 more months.
Wow.
But he does show up. And in my drunken stupor at 2 a.m., I just kissed him, like, out of nowhere, just, and he did not return the kiss. I was mortified.
He didn't jiggle his eyebrows?
Went home. I didn't hear that, but I'm just
he didn't jiggle his eyebrows?
Eyebrows, yeah.
So, anyway, he leaves. I was going to write a letter and apologize. I was, like, just mortified that, you know, I kissed this guy.
Right.
And a year later, he located me, tracked me down. He wanted to thank me and all of the staff, all of the nurses who saved his life.
Wow.
I was about to go to California on a traveling nurse assignment, which I actually did do the travel, but we went out on a dinner and he returned the kiss.
Wow.
And 36 years later, we're still together.
And your eyebrows jiggled.
Yeah. My eyebrows jiggled.
A few other things too.
Wow.
Nice.
How did he get so burnt?
So he was a house painter. Him and his brother were working upstate New York, and they were in their van. And the van broke down, and they were priming the carburetor with gasoline.
Yeah.
And the gas, there was a flash flame from the carburetor, and the gas just went, and he just went up in flames. His brother,
he had all paint and stuff on him. So
window.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, rolled him out, and then obviously, they couldn't keep him up there because his family was down here. Ironically, he was a Nassau County person. I was a Suffolk County.
Oh, look at that.
So, again, destiny is destiny because they could have taken him to Nassau's burn unit, but
right.
The family opted to stone
him. So half of his body was burnt. Was any of the important parts burnt?
Yeah.
No.
Good.
All important parts are good, and he's
nice.
Recovered wonderfully. And
oh, that's
he
great.
Home right now painting my house.
Excellent. Yeah.
Awesome.
Painting the house nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's my story. And Chaz, fellow nurse you have at home, yes, it's our tribe. We're good people.
Yeah, no, tremendous human beings.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
Awesome. You guys have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
See you. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
Don't you want to hold hands?
It's my wedding song.
No.
This your wedding song?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I love this song.
The fall asleep part?
I'm going to blame the Red Bull.
What's the part where she wants to shoot him into space?
It's the Red Bull talking. Red Bull's talking.
We're asking you to call in a How You Met the Other Half story. 203-882-9757. Krista.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good.
So I got something funny for you guys.
All right.
2007, my boyfriend and I, he's a mechanic, and his boss at the time offered me $50 to give him a lap dance while he was underneath the dashboard of a car.
Nice.
This is
so
what we want.
The old grease job, yep.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it. Why would you be asked this? Are you someone who gives lap dances?
Well, at that time of my life, yes.
Okay.
Not professionally, right. But for fun.
Right, right.
Oh, wait.
She dabbles.
A recreational lap dancer.
Not at clubs?
No, not at clubs, no. Just,
but,
you know, for the
hanging out.
Lap partying and, you know.
Right.
You're just having a good time.
Okay, yeah, and he knew you were not afraid to do this.
Right.
Exactly.
Lost the money.
Okay.
So $50. Hey, it's $50. So I said, okay. So
I'll do $50.
Yeah, no kidding.
We won't fully quote. Like I said, he's stuck under a dashboard.
Yeah.
So all setting good. Everything's good. Time goes on. That's over. So 4th of July, a couple years later, he's supposed to go see another woman in Connecticut.
Right.
But his boss at the time didn't pay him. So he had no money. So I had actually called him and said, you want to have a barbecue? And I went over there for a barbecue for July 2009 and never left. And we're together 15 years.
That was a hell of a lap dance.
That's one hell of a lap dance. But he didn't really respond to the lap dance.
No.
How did you do a lap dance when he was under the dashboard? How did you...
Well, you know, you're at work, so it's just, you know, you just do it.
But no, the mechanics of it.
He's under the dashboard, yeah, like so you have one leg.
Like his head is under the dashboard and his body is hanging out the side of the door.
Right.
Okay.
So she hovered over that part.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha.
Oh.
Right, huh. Like a landing strip. Yep.
Yeah, so all the important parts are hanging outside the door.
The parts you needed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right, right. The rest of them is just kind of hanging out in the dashboard, yeah. You keep walking over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
So that's it.
And it all started with a lap dance.
15 years later.
See?
Do you still give him lap dances?
No,
of course
I mean,
not.
If he wants me to, well, of course I would.
Oh, right. Right.
And pay $50.
No, we've been together 15 years. It's 100 now.
100, gotcha.
Inflation.
The price has doubled, yes.
Very nice. Thank you. Ron.
Good quick story. I was going through a divorce a while back, meeting a friend at a bar. He calls me, tells me he can't make it that day. So I go in a bar anyways. I didn't want to go home as the wife's taking swings at me. Yeah. And go up to the bar between two women, and I say to one of the girls, I feel like a thorn between two roses. And she goes, that's a good one. I said, I got more. She goes, bring them on. And we started talking, and I was with her for 20 years.
Nice.
Wow.
Oh, it was some poetry.
What happened?
She passed away 22 months ago.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Really
suddenly,
sorry.
So it sucks. Yeah, me too, man. Miss her a lot.
Yeah.
That's a drag, brother.
So that was my story, how I came across somebody. Always talk to somebody when you go out. You never know what could happen. It could change your whole life.
You know, yeah. You're right.
Yep.
I'm not good at that, though.
I do. But
Jennifer's good at talking. And then the next thing you know, we got new best friends.
Yeah, right? Usually it's like, yes, officer, you know, Your Honor.
You try to keep it short.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
The only one I'm allowed to say it, according to the Moeller. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't recall, Your Honor. Yeah.
Ron, thank
Put
you, man.
Put your hands up behind your back. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Hey, right. Great job,
like,
man.
Like you were there.
Wonderful memories you have.
Yeah.
Al in the hospital.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, man.
Morning.
How you feeling?
Hey, you were asking an awful lot of questions about that dashboard lap dance.
Yeah.
All I could think is you going home and trying out.
That was a stripper stage name, Dashboard Lap Dance.
It was, yeah.
Don't give that guy any idea. So how's everybody today?
Good, how you doing?
Good, how you feeling?
All right. I can tell you a quick story about my wife.
Okay.
Which one?
Door number two?
The one I'm married
to. Okay, all right.
Actually, we met out on Super Bowl Sunday. That was our first date down at this bar down in Selma, Annis, not Gubbies.
Oh, I remember. Okay. I remember Annis.
And there was a big, heavy snowstorm that afternoon. And I guess we had to leave early. They were closing the bars down. So I couldn't get my van out of the parking lot. So I ended up going home with her and her little Altima. Actually, that Altima made it all the way to her house in the snow.
Nice.
I never left.
Nice.
Did she ask you to? And you just wouldn't?
Just kept hinting.
Squatters.
It was the longest date we ever had together, and we're still together now.
Yeah.
Nice.
And didn't you punch someone out at your wedding?
That was that was Laura's husband.
No.
To punch somebody out.
Right.
Oh. You were standing there with him, though.
You just say, I do.
I was standing there. I witnessed all the wedding.
What was your wedding song? Do you remember?
Aerosmith. I don't want to go down. I don't want to close my eyes.
Oh. We have the same one.
Don't want to miss
it. Really?
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, see that? Me and Ruth got good taste.
Ah.
I picture you in like a tuxedo T-shirt.
Right.
Oh, I was thinking the Dumb and Dumber tuxes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right.
The light blue or the baby blue.
Yeah.
you remember we were talking about that guy, Dom, the DJ guy? I mean, the guy that the impersonator for, oh, my God. Frank, oh, my God, who is that? The impersonator, Frank Sinatra. He did my wedding.
Oh, wow.
He was out there. Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
Nice.
You and your wife met him. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Good man.
I believe I couldn't get up.
What's all that noise in the background? Are nurses telling you, like, to do stuff?
No, not at all.
What's all that noise?
This ain't closed back in room, sir.
I've been having issues with my phone all morning. But anyway, I just figured I figured that
out. Is there anyone talking in your room?
No, not right now.
That's
all gone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the hallways, man. Really? Really loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard a voice.
My scrambled eggs and bacon is talking to me,
nice.
But I can't finish it.
All right, Al. Thank you.
Yes.
I keep going.
Tom.
Hello.
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 You almost broke my eardrum. Thanks a lot.
Well, you yelled at us first.
Hello.
You want to hear my story?
Yes.
Well, I'm still here, yeah.
Okay. Back about, I was working for a company in Southington, in 1969. And
Southington's the devil's triangle of nutbags in Connecticut.
We have nutbags in Connecticut? I thought that was
Southington.
The state flower.
Right.
Anytime they're looking for someone with a gun, or there was a fight, or there was a robbery, or
right.
smash and grab, or a car was stolen, it's Southington.
Aren't we the nutbag state?
All right, go ahead.
Now you know why. Now you know why people like to live here.
Yes.
So
we blend.
So about 69, I was working at a place called GE Madison, selling batteries and tires. I was a salesman for them.
Yeah.
And this girl comes in and she needs a battery for her car. Now, you know, a salesman, and you see a pretty girl, you got to talk to him, right? And you
do
things like that. And so I sold her the battery. Out the door she went, but I had signed my name on the receipt because I had to. So about 3 weeks later, I'm standing in there doing nothing. I look over down the aisle, and there's that same girl. And this time she's wearing hot, red hot pants. And I'll tell
boy.
You, those pants were hot.
Wow.
Oh,
giving you a charge.
Oh,
she knew how to do it.
Right,
Yeah, so I figured I must have charged her good. So
right.
That was
good. You got
to die hard. You know, we went along for a while, dating everything like that, and I found out she was in a divorce. You know, she's going to get a divorce. But one night she invites me over to her house. I figured, well, okay, I went and everything like that.
I wouldn't.
You know, one thing led to another, and the other went to another, and all of a sudden we're doing things that we both enjoy.
Jumper? Cables?
All of a sudden the phone rings. It's her husband, and he's coming home.
Whoops.
You want to know what it's like to get your pants on and go out the window at the same time?
So I wouldn't have went.
No.
You go to a hotel or something.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Or wait until she's divorced.
Right.
Yeah, maybe wait until it's over.
Yeah,
I wanted
completely.
To.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't want to wait.
Right.
So, you know, and the funny thing is that happened, but we kept going strong. And since then, I found out I liked her and loved her. We've been married for 52 years.
Nice.
52 years.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a long life battery.
Does she still have the hot pants?
Still has hot pants, but I don't know if she still wears them.
Gotcha.
Would she fit into them? That's
right.
The question.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
Okay. That's all right.
None of us can.
You know what you learned, though? In all that time, you can do a lot of stupid things, but if love is strong, you stay together.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
And I did stupid things. I was good at it.
Like what?
And that's my story.
Did you cheat on her?
Like what? No,
oh,
never
okay.
did that.
Oh,
never
just
did
stupid
that.
Things.
But you know the wonderful times when you go to Super Bowls and get so shit faced, you don't go home and you end up in Hubbard Park and don't know why.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
no, I can't say.
I can't hear. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, it all started in 1969.
Nice.
Very good.
1969. Yeah.
Cool.
Michael Aiello is on the show, and he's a Court TV anchor and host of a limited series called Trial and Error. Why did O.J. win? Why did O.J. win?
Why?
Why did O.J. win? Great to be on with you guys. Appreciate you having me on. Why did O.J. win? If I had to put my finger on it, I would say because he had the money to hire some of the best lawyers in the world.
Boy, that was some team.
Yeah.
Referred to as the dream team.
Right.
Team, yes, sir. and they certainly were. They did an amazing job in the trial. And, you know, it makes a difference in the American justice system. It just does.
Yeah, I would say the first mistake that the state made was moving it from Brentwood to downtown L.A.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that they wanted. It was asked for by the defense, and ultimately they were able to do that. And yes, I think you can look at it as a mistake. But I think that the citizens of Los Angeles County had the right to sit in judgment of not only O.J. Simpson, but the police and everybody else involved in this case. That's how our justice system works. And, you know, we ask our jurors to come into a courtroom, bring their lifetime, their life experiences into that courtroom as part of how they judge these cases and how they listen to the evidence. And that's what happened.
No, but from a legal team perspective, you want to get him out of the rich white neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you want to get him into L.A. And the state thought this is a pretty good idea because we have enough evidence we can convict him with our eyes closed.
Right.
And we just had the Rodney King riots, and we can't have another issue where, you know, we have a hero to the African-American world.
Yeah.
You know, look like he's shamed by a bunch of white rich people.
Right.
Let's move it down there. We're going to win no matter what.
Right.
But we'll move it down there. But that was their first mistake.
Yeah.
That was mistake one. Yeah, they made a lot of mistakes, but that was mistake one.
I mean, they did want it, but it certainly was something that the defense wanted as well because they saw it. They saw the flip side. So I think when you look at some of the issues in the case, the politics of it were just as important as anything that happened on a legal standpoint, right? Because politics is why the state thought and felt the way they did about where they wanted to try the case. And then there was the other side of racial politics, which is why the defense thought it would be a great idea to have it in L.A. So, you know, there were those aspects of the case that I think were really part of the most fascinating part of the case.
I mean, there's no question he did it, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Michael?
Well, you know, I don't want to sit in judgment of or put my judgment in place of the jury's. I will say this. I was working at Court TV at the time, very familiar with the evidence, having gone through many different iterations of the evidence. I think there certainly was enough evidence to convict, without question.
Yeah. Anyone else would have been convicted. The trial would have been weeks.
Right.
Like 6 weeks, tops.
At the most.
And it would have been locked. And it would have been a slam dunk.
Yeah.
That would have been the jury's out for 5 minutes and then they're back.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, again, there were questions to be had. And one of the interesting things about the doc that we've done is that we've been able to talk to jurors. We've been able to talk to people who were in the courtroom for the entire time. There's only a few people who were actually in the courtroom for every preliminary hearing, every day of the trial. We got to speak to a couple of those folks. And they all felt that, yes, there was evidence there, but there was certainly some doubt. And again, that sprung from some of the issues with police procedures and the way the police went about doing their job. So, yes, there was certainly evidence. Again, I'll go back to that. There was evidence to convict, but I think there was issues there that created some reasonable doubt as well. So I'm not sure it would have happened so fast, even if he was convicted.
Yeah, but he did it. I mean.
Or had a lot to do with it.
No, he did it.
Yeah.
The timeline. Look at the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The blood.
Let me tell you this.
All right. Let me see. Let me see. There's Bruno Mali shoes that we have a receipt that he paid for. His size, blood tracks everywhere.
Right.
He left one glove here that he also had there were pictures of him at an NFL game wearing these gloves. Yeah. Same exact gloves. There's one at the murder scene and one at his house.
Yeah.
Right where there's a cut in one of the gloves. There just happened to be
a
cut in his on his finger.
I got a boo-boo.
Oh, well, he smashed a glass ashtray. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, at the hotel room when he heard of her death.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Come on.
So destroyed.
Come on.
Yes.
The limo driver saw the shadowy figure. Cato heard the footsteps on the roof.
Yeah. Santa?
I mean, you can't. Like, how do you.
Yeah.
Amazing, the only thing he didn't do was take a selfie at the scene,
right.
And he would have done that had he had a camera back then.
Well, some of the things that, you know, when you look at the evidence and you talk about the fact that there were Bruno Magli shoes there, that was certainly, for me, some of the strongest evidence. But I also had questions in terms of if you're at a scene that was as bloody as this scene, you're leaving footsteps all over the place. Inside his car that he was supposed to have come to and gone from the scene in, there was just a tiny smudge of blood. Yet there were these incredibly bloody gloves, incredibly bloody shoes. There was an incredibly bloody sock found in his room. But he got into his car and only left a tiny smudge on the rug. So, you know, there were...
Well, you have to take a look at that bag that Kardashian was seen on camera walking out of the house with.
That's always been a mystery.
Yeah. And there you had the knife and you had the bloody clothes.
Right.
Yeah. And all of those people got cancer Kardashian and died.
It's true.
Kardashian, Cochran.
You remember his face when the jury's verdict was delivered?
Yeah.
He was the one face that seemed shocked.
Yeah.
I thought he said, you know what, I did this thing for my friend, but justice will be served. But it wasn't in terms of the way he saw the case.
Who, Johnny Cochran?
It spoke volumes.
Who looked not surprised?
Johnny, Kardashian.
Kardashian. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got to look at his face when the verdict is read. It's unbelievable.
Oh, really? I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bananas.
Yep. Look at his face.
Bananas.
Oh, my God. It worked. Yeah.
But they were
the
so good.
Were all relieved. He was
it's
like,
taught.
Oh, my gosh.
It's taught in law school now. This trial.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the things they did. I mean, they turned it on the cops,
like,
the procedure.
Yeah.
They found some racist comments. Mark Furman was a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there was enough there with all of the evidence. He left a blood trail from the scene to his house.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, here, let me leave another. Here's a glove over here and a blood drop
over
here.
He wasn't slick at all.
No.
No. No master criminal.
He didn't think he was going to deal with Mark, the kid. Who was the other victim with Nicole?
Yeah.
It was not Goodman.
Goldman.
Ron Goldman.
He didn't think that was,
you know, and
that's what
part
made
of this
it
case,
guys, a slam dunk.
This whole domestic violence thing, you know, we hadn't had a true understanding of how domestic violence works, how it escalates. And when you look at this case from that perspective, domestic violence is, you know, women are at the most in the most danger at the point where they leave a relationship and then begin a new one. And we just didn't have that knowledge at that time. And the jury just wasn't. It seemed ready to put together the connection between the domestic violence that had gone on in that relationship and this killing.
Those 911 calls were creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Because the circumstances suggest this is how it escalates.
Her 911 calls, where she was like, yep, you know who it is. Like, she had called
so
enough
many times
where it's like, you know what's going
it's
on right
familiar.
Now.
It's familiar, yeah.
But she would say, he's going to kill me.
They found a journal, guys, and we talk about it in the doc. They found a journal where she outlines a lot of the abuse, and it was bad. And a lot of people were aware of it, but again, the attitudes towards domestic violence at that time, very, very different. And if you talk about the legacy of the trial, that to me is one of the more important ones, this idea that we began to really take a closer look at domestic violence, what it means, study it, and look at the sort of pathologies of domestic violence. And I think women are much more, and men, and we're starting to see, you know, men can be victims of domestic violence as well. We have a better understanding of it, and I think we treat it much more smart in our justice system today.
The only reason we're still talking about it now is because he got away with it, and we pretty much all, not all of us, but most of us can see the evidence. And,
yeah. Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Did you hear the guy? Got a rap.
No.
Shut up. Don't make me do an OJ on you. Got a rap.
Yeah.
Got a rap.
Got a rap.
Shut up.
Yeah.
He's going to go to another radio station now, and they're going to be like, so what made you interested in the
right?
Yeah.
Textbook.
I could talk about that case all day.
How old were you when that happened?
Ooh, it was 94. I was 7, watching the TV and seeing a white Bronco drive down the A1A.
Yeah, that was a Friday night. I was on the air.
Yeah. It was playoffs, NBA playoffs, right?
I don't remember that part.
I believe it was an NBA playoff game that they kept cutting between, but it was, I mean, I was 7 and I didn't quite understand until the trial started happening what was going on, but I knew it was a big deal. And I just, you know, you see just the tiny, like a little speck, little white car going down the highway
and a whole bunch of red behind it.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, the low speed pursuits.
Yep.
And then Al Collins is calling from the Bronco,
that was the craziest.
OJ has a gun to his head,
yeah.
The first shock in that case was you know, as soon as you hear his ex-wife was murdered, you heard that he was in Chicago. And it's like, oh, I wonder if he hired someone to do this.
Right.
And then it turns out he wasn't in Chicago. I'm like, so he did do it.
Yep.
And then the next big shock was when he didn't show up for, he was supposed to turn himself in or something.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And he didn't show up.
Right.
And we're like, wow, he's on the run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, this is nuts.
The fugitive.
Then it was the low-speed pursuit.
Yep.
And he had the gun to his head.
Yep.
Like, oh, my God, he's going to kill himself on live television.
I was thinking, nice Bronco.
Yeah. Yeah. And they both had the same Broncos.
Yes, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yep. And twinning.
Yeah, but that was right after that. You didn't want to have a white Ford Bronco.
Not for a while. No.
They just brought the. I've just started seeing Broncos back on the road the last like year or two. As like
what the new ones.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But those are a throwback to the old ones.
And they are.
Yeah.
I love how they look. Yeah. When I was in the market for a car last year, I almost got a white Bronco just to like.
Wow. Oh, like not, a little nod.
A little nod to like, Liz. I don't. I'm not celebrating OJ, but I just think it would be like, you're driving around in a white Bronco and be like, I get that. If you get it, you get it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you know.
But it's funny because then he got away with it. And it was weird watching two different communities, one as mad as hell, and then the other happy, like justice was served.
Yeah.
You know, two
weird.
Completely different reactions.
Yeah.
And I had conversations with people who are like, he did not do that.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. They completely believed he didn't.
Mm. Yeah, ask him now, though.
Yeah.
Like 1994, 95, sure, maybe you could believe that, but now, 30 years later,
yeah,
there's just so much out there that...
Then he got busted in Vegas, and he went to prison for that.
Yeah.
And I was like, karma came and knocked on your door, didn't it?
Well, you remember when he was dying... His family went in to see him, but before they could go see him, they had to sign NDAs so they wouldn't go to the press to say what he said on his deathbed. The speculation is he gave a deathbed confession to his children about what really happened and then croaked and made them sign the document so they can never talk about
it. Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
When did you hear that?
Right around the time he passed. Like, right before he passed away, there was a news article that came out that's like, his family goes to visit him, but lawyers make them sign an NDA and, like, crazy stuff. Yeah.
Well, he did write a book that says, if I did do it.
Right.
Mm.
That was like an in your eye to the family.
Yeah.
And we've had like all of the family on, Ron Goldman's family.
Yeah.
We had Nicole's sister on.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult.
Yeah. They
because he was smug about it. Not only got away with it, but he was smug about it.
He wrote a fiction book like he did. Yeah.
I heard his last words were, "Hurt superstar rent a car."
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.